With the help of funding from the U.S. Agency for International Development, many startup media companies escaped the control of political parties and oligarchs to strengthen a vibrant and free press in Ukraine. Some flourished and produced vital coverage on Russia's invasion of their country. They were part of an American effort to support democracy, farming, business development, and anti-corruption efforts through humanitarian assistance. Now, faced with foreign aid cuts under the Trump administration, Ukraine's free press is finding a new basis of independence. Losing that funding was a crisis for sure, but in Ukraine, we are living in a constant crisis from the war. Ola Mirovic tells Howard LaFranchi in his story today. That has forced us to learn to adapt, and I think that ability to adapt will help us avoid this crisis for independent media becoming a catastrophe. It's Wednesday, July 23rd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. The Labor Department wants to roll back regulations. Its proposed moves touch on workplace issues ranging from some minimum wage requirements to rules on exposure to substance considered harmful to working conditions at construction sites and mines. The department says it aims to deliver on President Donald Trump's commitment to restore prosperity through deregulation. Critics say the proposals would put workers at greater risk of harm. The White House is hosting the Philippines leader. The visit by President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. highlights efforts to strengthen security and economic ties as tensions rise in the Indo-Pacific, with talks expected to focus on mutual defense. China has become increasingly assertive in the South China Sea, where Manila and Beijing have clashed over territory. The leaders are also negotiating a potential tariff deal. Also, Bangladesh students protested over military training drills. Hundreds of students demonstrated near the site where a Bangladeshi Air Force jet crashed into a school in the capital, killing more than 30 people. They demanded accountability and the halt of training flights. The military is investigating the crash. Unrest shut down traffic in parts of Dhaka, which is still recovering from last year's student uprising that forced the prime minister from power. Now today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. As President Donald Trump pursues his goal of the largest deportation campaign in U.S. history, his administration has tapped an unusual range of government agencies to aid the effort. The Monitor has identified 12 additional agencies, from the Small Business Administration to stewards of public land. Their efforts include law enforcement partnerships, data sharing, border militarization, and renewed scrutiny of public benefits. It amounts to the largest redirection of federal resources and information toward a goal since 9/11, says Teresa Cardinal Brown of Cornell Law School. Sarah Matusik reports for The Monitor. President Donald Trump finds himself in the middle of an uproar within his base over his administration's handling of the Epstein files. And the president has leaned into the strategy, diversion, that has often gotten him out of difficult positions in his professional and political career. But so far, that seems not to be working this time. And Mr. Trump may actually be following the pattern that got him into the current Epstein debacle with his supporters, promising dramatic revelations he can't or won't deliver on. Story Hinckley reports for The Monitor. Arabs and Kurds in Syria are trying something new, working with one another to secure areas of the country. Can differing ideas about each faction's significance in maintaining peace grow? Or will this new agreement fizzle out? Dominique Sogel reports from Aleppo and Raqqa, Syria, for The Monitor. U.S. Agency for International Development funding helped nurture new independent media outlets in Ukraine to play their part in strengthening democracy. Now, there are concerns about a return to the days of media owned and dominated by oligarchs, political parties, and the state. Howard LaFranchi reports from Sumy, Ukraine, for The Monitor. Tokir Ashraf, a resident of Gusu Village in Powama District, is the creator of Keisha Prawl, Kashmiri Shimmering Light, an Instagram page with 117,000 followers, and a YouTube channel with more than 55,000 subscribers. His goal is to help preserve and promote the Kashmiri language, which is one of the 400 of India's 780 languages at risk of extinction, as other languages such as Urdu, Hindi, and English have taken root in the Kashmir Valley. Contributor Safina Nabi reports from Gusu in Dalapura, India, for The Monitor. Now commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on China's mental shift on deflation. The world's auto markets were shocked in May when China's leading electric vehicle maker, BYD, Build Your Dreams, offered a model for the equivalent of about $8,000. The low price seemed untied to the true cost of EVs. A while later, U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said the Chinese economy, the world's second largest, is the most unbalanced in history. He was reflecting global concerns that China would export goods at artificially low prices to boost its economy and thus damage others, driving a global descent into trade barriers. That concern, however, was not only outside China. In recent months, the Chinese Communist Party has admitted that excessive government incentives in the country's showcase industries, including solar panels, batteries, and EVs, have helped distort market forces, leading to excess capacity and overheated price wars. The ruling party is worried that private firms will now reduce spending on research and set back China's drive to be a leader in innovation. The downward spiral of prices, combined with a slump in property values, has led to deflation, or what is dubbed in Mandarin, Neizhuang, turning inward. In June, producer prices in China fell 3.6% from a year earlier, the largest decline in more than 2 years. Neizhuang directly affects wage levels, government tax revenues, investment confidence, and the whole economy, declared an editorial in the People's Daily. Deflation often comes with a self-perpetuating mentality among consumers that is hard to break. If they expect prices to drop, they delay purchases, causing prices to drop again. In the same way, businesses that keep expecting government subsidies rush to make more products. China's overcapacity isn't just a manufacturing issue, but a mindset issue, wrote Singaporean economist Kak Hao Li in the South China Morning Post. The party is now trying to correct that mindset by lowering subsidies, forcing companies to merge, and curbing the practice of big manufacturers forcing small suppliers to lower prices. Party leader Xi Jinping calls it the orderly exit of outdated production capacity. The mental shift may have begun. Some economists say China could beat deflation by 2026. The rest of the world is watching. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we gain the conviction that divine love governs its creation harmoniously, we more fearlessly and consistently experience that harmony. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flack and Good Luck Ajay.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.